AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. And by propane. Propane is the energy for everyone, especially farmers. Environmentally friendly propane can fuel most anything on the farm. See how at propane.com. Corn sales. E15 availability, carbon pipelines, the Russia-UN-Turkey grain deal. While Biden was meeting with Trudeau, Xi was meeting with Putin. ESG-based investments, waters of the U.S., the banking debacle, that is a lot to cover. Let's get going. The clock is going. Are you ready for this? TikTok.
Live from the first final lap of spring via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk this morning. It's a fully loaded Friday for Ibrahim. Panelists Jim Wiesmeyer, Sean Haney, and we'll welcome Mark Recker. Right after the news, Jennifer Scheck from Farm Journal's Pork. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lorre.
All right, Davis, we found something that pretty much everybody in the House of Representatives can agree with.
Okay.
Do you believe that?
Well, it had to happen eventually, right? Didn't it?
I didn't know if it was going to happen eventually, but it doesn't look to me like anybody likes TikTok. That's the bottom line right there.
Okay. Well.
So are you familiar with this social?
I've never had it on my phone. I've never downloaded it. I've seen it before, and there was one Christmas when my daughter, while she was still at home, we did this thing, and we were dancing to the music, and then we jumped, and then she made us all change into our pajamas.
Oh.
And she made this little video so that when we hit the ground, suddenly we were all in our Christmas pajamas.
Pajamas.
PJs.
Yeah,
yes. Pajamas, if you're fancy.
Okay.
That's about as far as my knowledge of TikTok goes, other than what I've read, what I've heard here in the news.
Well, I tell you what, it is definitely in the news. I don't know what the number is, but there are people that make a significant living based on what they do on TikTok. They've built huge communities.
Yep.
And all of that is being threatened now, and it's because of Chinese ownership and the availability or access to information of all the TikTok subscribers.
So they're going to have to get real jobs now.
I was going to say, are you suggesting a TikTok bailout program, perhaps?
I don't know. You know they'll
do something. On this, please.
You know they're going to do something. If they absolutely remove the platform on which somebody is making a living, I'll bet they do.
I'm going to hurry up and get on TikTok. Get me some of that TikTok money. Where's my money? I'm a TikToker.
I love it. Love it. All right. We got a lot of ground to cover. Let's get to the news.
Chip, another USDA daily export sale, this time 204,000 metric tons of corn for China during marketing year 22-23. They just keep coming, bro.
Yeah, absolutely. Another old crop sale. Still watching for that new crop.
Eyes on the skies, gang. The same system that brought rare tornadoes to California this week will trigger widespread severe thunderstorms today for the Mid-South and Ohio Valley. Chip, more than 20 million people are under flood watches today across a large swath of the U.S., stretching from Oklahoma to West Virginia. We mentioned it yesterday. I'm bringing it up again.
Yeah, and as you well should, it is a big, gnarly system that is making its way through up the Ohio River Valley today. So just be very aware of what's going on. The heaviest of it right now looks like it's at the tail end of it along the Missouri-Arkansas border.
Well, Chip, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen clarified her stance on bank bailouts a day after comments to lawmakers sent jitters through the markets. In written testimony to lawmakers on Wednesday, Yellen said the federal government would not issue blanket deposit insurance to bank depositors of any size, and rescues would be on a case-by-case basis. In other news, U.S. Trade Representative Catherine Tai will discuss trade policy with the Ways and Means Committee today after a similar session yesterday before the Senate Finance Committee. during which members questioned efforts to negotiate agreements on critical minerals with the European Union and Japan. Mm-hmm. Also at that Senate Finance Committee meeting, Tai pledged she would continue to press Mexico on its biotech corn ban. The Next Generation Fuels Act was reintroduced into the Senate, a move that drew praise from the National Corn Growers Association. The legislation builds on the nation's clean energy progress by advancing higher ethanol blends. The act would also permanently remove barriers that prohibit access to year-round ethanol.
Absolutely. We talked with that with Jeff Cooper, the CEO of the Renewable Fuels Association, about that yesterday morning. Give it a listen.
Well, the Energy Information Administration says ethanol production dropped below an average of 1 million barrels per day during the week ending March 17. That's the first time production dropped below that mark in over 2 months and the lowest since the week ended January 6. Federal lawmakers and a federal judge, as we know, recently sided against the Environmental Protection Agency's new Waters of the U.S. rule, and Congress is reportedly working its way toward disapproving the rule. Courtney Briggs from American Farm Bureau says Congress is exercising its authority under the Congressional Review Act.
And they have used that in the House of Representatives to disapprove of the most recently finalized WOTUS rule. And they successfully did that with 9 Democrats crossing over the aisle. And now we're waiting on the Senate, who will imminently be voting on this CRA resolution. Unfortunately, President Biden has already come out and said that he will veto this resolution.
And as we know, the most recent version of the rule went into effect Monday in 48 states. And finally, according to the American Bankers Association, ag lending by U.S. farm banks increased by 8.1% in 2022 to $103.1 billion. Chip.
Yeah, almost a 10% increase year on year. So more demand for funding. No question about it. The higher input cost might have had something to do with that, Davis.
I think maybe. Perhaps.
I think maybe. All right. Thank you so much. Let's bring in Jennifer Scheich, editor of Farm Journal's Port. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning.
All right. The veterinarian client patient relationship. If you don't know what it is, if you don't have one, it's time to get it figured out, isn't it?
Well, it sure is. On June 11th, FDA's Guidance for Industry 263 is going to bring 91 over-the-counter antimicrobial products from over-the-counter to prescription oversight. And, you know, this is part of a broader effort that's been going on by FDA for years now. And this is actually going to be coming into fruition on June 11th. And so some of the products that you might have been able to go to the farm store and just buy and take home and give to your animals will no longer be available. And so we're just really trying to get the message out there. A lot of the bigger pork producers, you know, already have veterinarians in-house, and this isn't going to be as big of an issue for them. But for those smaller producers, those backyard producers, people who may be just raising a few hogs for their own pork, this is something that they're going to need to be aware of because they may not have veterinarians close by. And so we're just trying to help people understand, go figure out who a veterinarian is that you can get that VCPR with. So you're ready when these products go off the shelves.
Yeah. Yeah, they go off the shelf. It's not that they are unavailable. It's just that Correct. You're going to have to get them in a different way and manage their use. Right?
Correct. You know, yeah. I think it's just we're trying to make sure that we don't get so much antimicrobial resistance going on out yep. there in animal and human health. And this exactly. is one way that we can help improve that.
Absolutely. Good stuff, Jennifer. Get more on that at www.porkbusiness.com. Jennifer, we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Jennifer Scheich, editor, Farm Journal's Pork. Okay, we got the free-for-all coming up next. Wiesmeyer, Haney, and Wrecker right here on AgriTalk.
AgriTalk is brought to you by United Animal Health, where their science allows you to maximize your genetic potential. Learn more at unitedanh.com.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now, you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
What if your commercial beef herd could be better than you thought possible? Genetic testing can help give you more confidence about what your herd is made of, and more importantly, what it can be. Inherit Select from Zoetis provides data-driven genetic insights to help you make more informed selection, breeding, and culling decisions about your cows and heifers. The journey from genetic potential to reality begins with Inherit Select. Ask a genetics rep how to save on testing with our whole herd promotion. Go to beefgenetics.com/radio.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
The 2023 Bracket Busters Challenge presented by Case IH is underway. Who's still in the game? Find out. Head to agweb.com now through April 3rd to check the leaderboard.
I learned the hard way.
Okay, let's get this thing going. The free-for-all. Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Lorre. I'm going to be trying to keep the conversation going here between Jim Wiesmeyer, Pro Farmer Policy Analyst. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Chip. Let's go.
You bet. Sean Haney, Real Agriculture, Real Ag Radio. Hey, Sean.
Hey, Chip. Great to be back.
Yeah, it's good to have you back. Did you enjoy your trip to Iowa?
I did. I really had a good time. I was able to spend some time with the Animal Science 411 class at your alma mater, Iowa State University. By the way, Chip, they haven't put up that statue yet. I walked.
Yeah.
Sherry gave me a tour all around campus. I looked for it.
Right.
It's still not up. I think it's in the works, though.
Well, they asked me for a photo so just recently. So, yeah, it's still in the works.
There you go.
Right.
Yeah, it was honestly, Sherry and the students were fantastic. I really appreciate them inviting me and a beautiful campus there at Iowa State University.
Isn't that a fun class? It's an animal science class, but it's all about communications and effective communication and talking about the topics and how to address animal agriculture topics out in public. It's a fantastic class.
Yeah, and you know what I really like about it is the diversity of thought of speakers. They have come speak to these senior level students. You know, they just to give you an example, right? They had me, they had Bill Bullard from RCAF. They've had somebody from, I think it's Allison from NCBA. Like, they're just in those three, there's diversity of thought when it comes to animal sciences and communications and trade and policy. So it really opens the students' eyes up to being curious and really learning about all the different perspectives and then putting all that together to synthesize your own thoughts. So great class.
Yeah, Sherry and Brad do a great job with that class down there, no question. All right, Mark Recker, Iowa farmer up here in Northeast Iowa. How's the weather treating you, Mark?
Well, Chip, you know as well as I do, it's another sunshiny day here in Northeast Iowa. So, you know, if you want that statue down at Iowa State, you're going to have to up your donation would be my recommendation to you.
Yeah, considerably. I feel that is probably accurate. There's a couple of kids down there that might be saying, hey, thanks, Chip, right now. But it's not like it's a whole class or anything like that. That's for sure. So, all right. Hey, before we go any further, first things first, you guys, happy National Ag Week. And thank you so much for the contribution of all three of you to this wonderful industry that we get to work in called agriculture. Hats off to you guys. Well done. How do you feel about that there, Jim?
I've had 5 decades of feeling well done, but thank you.
Yeah. Haney, what about you? How do you feel about National Ag Week?
It's always great to celebrate the industry, right? Yeah. And sort of reflect a little bit on the contribution that agriculture provides. It also exposes agriculture. There's a lot of outreach that happens outside of this bubble of agriculture. So a big part of this kind of stuff is to get people outside of the agricultural bubble thinking about the industry and the contribution to society in general.
Yep. Recker, what about you? What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, Chip, as I think about National Ag Day, and I've been farming now for 30 years, I think it's a good opportunity for all of us, no matter how long you've been involved in agriculture, to step back and take a look and see it. Look at the changes that have made, the challenges we've overcome, and the opportunities that lay ahead of us. And I think it's our good opportunity not only message to talk to the consumer and share what we're doing, but just for all of us to step back and think, my goodness, how did we get where we are? And how do we improve going forward?
Yeah. Yeah.
Chip, I'm wearing a Carhartt Speedo to celebrate the occasion myself. Speedo by Carhartt.
Great.
Not very
great.
Comfortable,
well,
though.
Thank you. And thank you for your contributions to the world of agriculture as well.
Happy to help.
Yeah. Thanks to you all out there for that contribution. You know, Mark, your comments about it is a time to reflect back on some of the things. And Brian Grady, the editor of Pro Farmer, has an item in Pro Farmer this week. I'm not going to get into too much detail on it right now, but it references 1976 and the growing conditions that we had in 1976. And in 1976, the U.S. national average corn yield was 88 bushels per acre. I mean, I was 11 years old, but I was involved in farming at 11 years old. I was doing things. I was driving a tractor and pulling a disc. It is amazing to me how much technical management advancement we've made over the last few decades. Really, really incredible. Really incredible. Okay. On to the issues. We talked with Jeff Cooper, the CEO of RFA, earlier this week, Mark, and talked about the efforts to bring E15 at least to the 8 Midwest states that want it for this summer. If we're going to get it done and get that waiver, we need to get that moving, don't we?
So last year in early, I think it was the middle of April when the president came to Iowa and made that announcement. So yeah. We're getting late in the game with that. Now, ideally, when the governors went forth and asked the EPA for permanent E15, which was very much appreciated by all of us, they would have made that available in 2023. But for some inexplicable reason, EPA didn't make that available till 2024. So now we're reliant on getting this emergency waiver. And yeah, I mean, it's been so awesome being able to pull up to any pump in Iowa and have E15 available.
Yeah.
Really hate to lose that. You know, the price difference, everybody sees it. It's just what you got to put in your tank. So hopefully we can get that done.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not like the effort started too late in the game. The EPA missed the deadline on making the announcement by like, what was it, 7 months or something like that? So it's not like the effort was started too late by the governors. Jim, the EPA Administrator Michael Regan was testifying this week before Congress, talked a lot about the budget. Anything else that we need to know from Regan's testimony?
No, other than he took heat from both sides on their, why did they issue their new WOTUS definition ahead of the Supreme Court? He had his justification, but it didn't convince many lawmakers. And he also expressed the need to hire thousands more EPA personnel, Chip. Regulators regulate.
Well, yeah. And there's been already pretty significant budget that's gone into the EPA through IRA, hasn't there?
Yes, absolutely.
It's like, what's the number? It's like $40 billion or something like that, isn't it?
Well, it was a chunk of change. What tells you a priority of the administration? It's in the regulatory end.
Yeah. Yeah. Boy. Well, but and probably there's an answer to this. I'm very curious how much of that, those extra resources are to creating more policy and rules versus the enforcement thereof, the ones we already have. That would be an interesting breakdown, because a lot of times we're really good at making rules. We're not good at enforcing them.
Sean, EPA doesn't make up the rules. They just enforce.
Okay, Chip.
Come on, man. It's implementation. That's all they're supposed to do. But, yeah, point well taken. Point well taken on that. Let's talk about the – Haney, take the lead here on talking about the meeting between Biden and Trudeau.
Yeah, so I think Canada's been waiting for this. It's been kind of we've been kind of wondering, you know, with being such strong partners between the two countries, why this visit has taken so long. But President Biden is in Canada. There's a couple of main issues that has been really, really covered in the mainstream. One is some sort of resolution or an agreement when it comes to immigration. I know that in the U.S., there's a lot of focus on the southern border, the volume of people coming across there. In Canada, there's a big concern because we've got a lot of people crossing illegally from the U.S. into Canada. And so they're going to try to come to an agreement on that number and how they're going to deal with it. Also, what's going to come out of this potentially is the U.S. requesting Canada to really be the country on the ground in Haiti. In trying to provide, be a part of the solution to some of the issues that are going on and the unrest in Haiti. One of the reasons there is Canada's French speaking, of course, and would be kind of a natural outside of a country like France. So that's the two main issues we're going to hear about. Obviously, they're going to talk about trade, but that's not the lead story, I guess.
Gotcha. Yeah, that trade is going to be. It's going to be difficult to capture a whole lot of headlines on that part of the conversation, but I think it probably will be. Okay, well, Biden and Trudeau were meeting. Xi and Putin have already met, and we'll get some of the details on that from Jim coming up next. All I can tell you, guys, is that Xi and Putin seem to be getting very cozy in the relationship, and I don't know if it's good news or not.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now, you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
What if your commercial beef herd could be better than you thought possible? Genetic testing can help give you more confidence about what your herd is made of, and more importantly, what it can be. Inherit Select from Zoetis provides data-driven genetic insights to help you make more informed selection, breeding, and culling decisions about your cows and heifers. The journey from genetic potential to reality begins with Inherit Select. Ask a genetics rep how to save on testing with our whole herd promotion. Go to beefgenetics.com/radio.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from ProFarmer.
ProFarmer editor Brian Grady joins us right now. Beege, we've still got corn on the plus side of unchanged, but it's back well off the highs. What's going on?
Yeah, I want to start in the wheat market, Chip. That's the one that really got juiced up this morning. Russia came out and said that maybe they'll enact wheat export bans and just uncovered a flurry of short covering in the market, and the wheat's been really beaten down here recently, so to see that type of price action in response to that news probably isn't too surprising, but the outside markets are negative, and that's pulled wheat well off their highs here at
25
mid-morning.
Cents off the highs.
Yeah, still trading sharply to the upside, but like you mentioned, just well off the highs. So we'll have to see how that one finishes up. Now, that price action in the wheat market is being reflected in corn just to a much lesser degree. So when we talk about corn futures being well off their highs, it's mostly in reaction to the wheat market pulling back sharply.
Gotcha. Soy complex has been under a lot of pressure this week. Not a whole lot happening today.
No, we're trying to get a little bit of short covering. Yep. Meal markets trading to the upside, soy oil more so. Beans trying, but just not much traction there in the bean market this morning.
All right, somebody's trying to catch a knife in the lean hog market too.
Absolutely. Dangerous probably ahead of the weekend, but we'll see. You know, strong gains here at mid-morning and short covering. We'd gotten just too bearish. The front end of the market was below the cash index. On the cattle side of things, pretty quiet, to be honest with you. Mixed, narrowly mixed price action in live cattle futures. Feeders are mostly favoring the downside because of the strength in corn.
Excellent. Good stuff, Brian. Thank you. That is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady on Markets Now.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Do you suffer from talking on the radio phobia? No problem. Send us a tweet at hashtag AgriTalk.
All right, it's the free-for-all here on AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. We've got Jim Wiesmeyer, Sean Haney, and Mark Recker on the free-for-all today. Jim, give us the details, the highlights of the Xi and Putin meeting.
He reiterated his view, meaning Xi, Chip, that global power dynamics are shifting, new world order. He sees the era as the West is fading and China is ascending, and that about sums it up. He wants even a deeper relationship with Russia, which says if Russia wins against Ukraine, China wins. They're linked at the hip.
Yep. And Mark, from Sean, from a grain market, a global market perspective, it was not encouraging at all to see Xi leave Moscow and then to have Russia say things like, you know, maybe we need to take a look at just how much we're willing to export. Oh, hey, we've got this new ground corridor that we can move grain from Russia into China. It's almost like Xi was there and says to Putin, listen, take care of China and China will help take care of you. Without an official kind of grain deal, it looks like something happened under the table, doesn't it, Sean?
It sure, you could definitely, I think that's pretty good speculation, Chip. You know, these are two very untrustworthy characters. You know, you'll also add in Brazil making a big trip in the future. Yep. Here to go to China. You know, it's really easy to read into it, and I think it's not unreasonable to do so. We've talked about previously, actually, I think you brought it up initially, Chip, was how subservient Russia is to China, and I think this kind of fits into the narrative. Xi visits, Russia makes a decision when he leaves. Was that an order provided to Putin to do so? I don't know, but boy, I'll tell you what, for those of us that are in, you know, the G7, this is a major concern.
Yeah. Mark, your take? Oh, maybe we lost Mark. Doggone it. Okay, we'll try to get back to Mark on it.
Unmute Mark.
Yeah, unmute Mark.
Sorry, Chip.
Hey,
I understand. I can do this. I can do this. So, you know, it was concerning, you know, when Xi negotiated the deal, or China did, between Saudi Arabia and Iran, and, you know, stepping into that part of the world.
Yeah.
And I think this just creates a lot more questions, you know, with China being mostly a backstop for Russia here and allowing Russia to have a lot more latitude than they would have otherwise. And, you know, what does this spell for the war? What does it mean for, you know, us and Taiwan and China? It just changes that whole dynamic.
It certainly does. And I'm glad that you brought up the China's involvement in the Middle East. Because, Jim, they've taken a much more active role in efforts there. I mean, even Saudi Arabia and Israel looked like there's going to be some sort of a peace agreement. And China had something to do in brokering that deal, right?
Yeah, either overt or otherwise, Chip. And Yeah, this is goes into their long-term plan of the New World Order, and that includes the Mideast. Yeah,
yeah.
It is significant.
What if they get Saudi Arabia to start trading crude oil in yuan?
That may happen faster than most people realize, because Putin has already indicated he's urging the use of the Chinese currency, the yuan or the renminbi, in all their transactions. Again, that's a major development.
Absolutely. Now, can I just just for those of us that don't totally understand all this, why is that a significant issue? Like, because I've read a lot about a concern about it, but I haven't seen it really explained really well in terms of if they do start to trade oil in Chinese currency, why is that such a big step?
Well, it previously it allows us to get in debt more, to spend more. that's the bottom line.
Okay.
But if you have few buyers of bonds, et cetera, it makes us have to focus on our debt.
Well, gotcha. and the disruption that it brings to the currency trade.
Yes.
Standard operating procedure for global trade to happen on a U.S. dollar basis. If all of the sudden Saudi Arabia is trading crude oil in yuan and it increases the supply of yuan on the marketplace, what kind of an impact does that have to the value of the dollar? What kind of an impact does it have on global trade all the way around? I don't know if China wants that responsibility, to be honest with you, because of the debt that is associated with a global currency like the U.S. dollar. Whoever is that default currency for trade has got to be willing to manage debt, period, end of story, because there's got to be a constant supply of new dollars into the marketplace for trade to grow. I don't know if China wants that responsibility, to be honest with you guys.
But so, Chip, isn't the offset of that? It gives them so much more financial power in the world.
Yeah.
If you do that, if they have that ability.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So
might be worth it.
Yeah, it might be a lot to watch there. Let's stay on trade here for just a moment and go back to you, Haney. Brazil, they cleaned up their issue with the BSE so fast that China just decided, hey, we can start doing beef trade again with Brazil. What's that make you think?
Well, exactly. It's just the perfect example of how countries like China just do not believe in rules-based trade, or in many cases, science for that matter. You know, so Brazil gets an atypical case. Oh, we're going to, you know, we got to be cautious here. And in very quick order, all of a sudden, hey, let's China begins to re-import Brazilian beef. Meanwhile, a country like Canada also had an atypical case 15 months ago and can't get any sort of an answer back from China. All I ever hear from Canadian officials is we're hearing some rumblings. Not sure exactly what that exactly means. It's probably means nothing. And we'll just wait for one day that when China actually needs Canadian beef again, or for some other reason, magically, oh, hey, you know what? We'll take it. And this is the frustration when dealing with a country like China.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I don't know. Maybe we can find the answer out there on TikTok. seems to be a whole lot of information out there. Jim, as Davis and I were talking about at the start of the show, good grief. If you're looking for there is widespread bipartisan agreement on this issue.
Yeah, makes me a little nervous. I must admit that I'm a big user of TikTok late at night. I can go on it for hours, Chip, at a time from a news generating and old songs and things like that. So I see it on the good part. I don't see the bad.
Yeah.
What's kind of funny watching some of this week, and I'm not saying we shouldn't be concerned about TikTok. We probably should be. But it's like how easy the fodder is around a topic like this, where it's like, You know, when I hear lawmakers say, you know, they're tracking you. Well, yeah, every social media platform is tracking you, fool. Like, that's the whole premise here.
But this is the Communist Party that's tracking us, not you know, Facebook or Snap or whatever. It seems a little elevated.
Well,
if it's the Chinese Communist Party.
Yes, and in if the decision is to ban it, it will be a test of American resolve to have personal sacrifice for the greater good. That will be an interesting public experiment, and how people react to that. Because
I have a teenage daughter that's not going to be very happy if TikTok is banned. So a lot of teenagers out there aren't going to be very happy, but you're right. Every platform, you know, Facebook, Instagram, all of them, you know, you're giving your data away. I mean, but it's hard to understand or make a teenager understand, you know, why it's important that we're not surveilled, you know, the influence capability of social media, you know, and why it's necessary to really monitor TikTok, because it is important. It is Chinese owned. And I think I don't know if they can ride that line of the monitoring that technology or just outright banning it. Hopefully they can figure that out. But I mean, the question is, if they ban TikTok, where is Davis Michelson going to move to show us his dance moves?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you can figure
There's a number of places I can do that. Yeah. Yeah.
If you can figure that out, you get on the buy side of that one right away. Is it going to be Facebook? Is it going to be Snapchat? Is it going to be Instagram? Whatever it is. Because if it is banned, there's going to be a massive movement of really good content to some other platform.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. It would be nice, Jim, if that other platform, adheres to the ESG rules so that everybody would be available to invest in that company, right?
Well, you would hope.
Yeah.
I'll go back to, they may be tracking, but I spend a lot of what I think quality time looking at a lot of interesting things on TikTok. I have to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, TikTok. Careful there. You're showing it, because I think you just called it TikTok.
Yeah, I did. TikTok.
Yeah.
I just hit the beep, and then there it goes for hours.
All right. Well, we now know who the biggest TikTok fan is on the free-for-all. We're going to come back and wrap things up here in just a moment.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now, you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
What if your commercial beef herd could be better than you thought possible? Genetic testing can help give you more confidence about what your herd is made of, and more importantly, what it can be. Inherit Select from Zoetis provides data-driven genetic insights to help you make more informed selection, breeding, and culling decisions about your cows and heifers. The journey from genetic potential to reality begins with Inherit Select. Ask a genetics rep how to save on testing with our whole herd promotion. Go to beefgenetics.com/radio.
Knowledge is power. We're here to charge your batteries. AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk and the free-for-all. Jim Wiesmeyer, Pro Farmer Policy Analyst, Sean Haney, Real Agriculture, Real Ag Radio, and Mark Recker, Iowa Farmer. Jim, did we learn anything new about the farm bill process this week?
we learned very little. There were a few signals that they really want to redirect some of that IRA money into some farm bill sections, Chip, because what few people don't know, that expires in 2031 and for the duration of the farm bill budget baseline. And so that's a serious debate there. But other than that, not much new this week, even though we had a farm bill conference, we had a hearing, et cetera. Bottom line, we're not going to have anything major news until after this debt limit debate is over.
Okay. Mark Recker, are you seeing anything from the farm bill conversations that's kind of raising your eyebrows?
So as I monitor it and you wonder where the money's going to come from, and you know, to fund these programs, and you know, there's probably not any more money going to come into this program. Every time they talk about, well, let's take a look at crop insurance and maybe we could maybe whittle away a little bit there. That's what's, you know, catches my attention, because that is the backstop that most farmers will tell you, that we got to have crop insurance and keep that whole. So, you know, there's a lot of good programs in the farm bill. And if you're a producer for risk management, you got to keep crop insurance. So we want to make sure that's fully funded.
Right. We talked earlier about some of the trade issues that the U.S. is dealing with. Jim, USTR tie and trade policy. What's the latest developments?
She talks and talks and talks. But as far as U.S. agriculture, I thought the phrase coming out of that was sorry, ag sector, when she said, because she was encouraged to about the lack of traditional free trade agreements, and they were pushing her, both Republicans and Democrats. But she said, while it has been in general very good for our agricultural producers, the other parts of our economy feel like the playing field is not level. Translation, don't expect us to go the traditional trade agreement route.
Wow. What's that make you think, Haney?
Good question. This is what concerns me, is how we've made trade seem like a bad thing. Mm-hmm. And you could take any of these deals and you can find a blemish or where maybe it hasn't worked out really well for a sector inside of all the industries that are involved. At the heart of it, though, trade is really good for agriculture. Mm-hmm. And so we need to continue to push as hard as possible for trade agreements or trade understandings, however you want to phrase that. We have to push for it, because if we don't, we're being compromised as an industry. I don't care if that's U.S., Canada, or whatever. Trade is critical going forward.
Yeah. And part of the issues here, I think, is that when we talk about trade, and we talk about the export side of trade, I think everybody in agriculture is kind of all on board. Yeah, let's export as much as we can. This is fantastic. It adds to the bottom line. But on the other side of that are the imports. And in some of the sectors of agriculture, they don't want any imports of whatever they are producing. I'm kind of looking at you, beef guys, in a lot of ways. So yeah. It is a fine line that needs to be walked, no question about it.
But you can't expect Canada to, let's just use beef as the example. I think, you know, there's years where Canada buys $1 billion worth of U.S. beef.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good customer.
It's a darn good customer.
Right? Absolutely. It's not just a one-way deal where, you know, all this Canadian beef's getting dumped into America. No,
right.
Canada's also a big purchaser of U.S. product. So
exactly.
That's what trade is.
Yeah. But it go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, this is to me, this is just emblematic of what we've seen in both political parties now. We've moved on to this protectionist stance in both parties, and it's just darn near impossible to get full-blown trade agreements done anymore. Yes. It looks like it's going to be a piecemeal route from here forward, because you just can't get the support with either party to get them done.
Jim, does that make sense to you?
Totally agree. Yeah.
Okay.
It's called market access, but he's right on. Both political parties have turned, in many cases, have turned inward, and that's not a good sign. You need market access, especially in the meat sector, because many a year, that's the difference between profit or loss in the U.S. meat sector.
Darn right. That's exactly right. Jim, the Fed raised interest rates another quarter of a point this week, and kind of signaled that there's probably one more coming, and then we're going to pause and hold things there for a while.
Yes, and he did say, Jerome J. Powell, the Fed chairman, did say that they have no cuts in store for this calendar year. Now, that can always change, but at least that's what they said. Yeah, Fed hikes may be close to, done, Chip, and, you know, that was the signal. Most people, at least that I talked with, was glad that they raised to 25 basis points, because had they not, that would have at least signaled to some that this banking crisis is even worse than some think.
Yeah, yeah. Mark, how much attention are you paying to what's going on with the bank, with banks right now?
Watching it really close, yeah. Because, you know, I think the ag sector and banking is pretty strong, but, you know, everything has this trickle down effect. And it seems like we've had a couple banks go and a few rumors on a few more. This drip, drip, drip all of a sudden turns into something pretty big. So I think I think something you have to watch pretty close. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. We had a great conversation with Todd Horwitz from BubbaTrading.com yesterday morning on the show. If you have not heard that, please give that a listen. Really insightful comments from Todd in that conversation. So, yeah, really, really good. All right, guys, that's going to wrap it up. Mark, thank you so much for making time for us, man. Good luck. Stay safe this spring.
You bet. Glad to be on.
All right.
Thanks,
Jeff. Sean Haney, you got more travels coming up, or are you going to stay home for a while now?
I'm right, actually in Arizona right now, so I'm going to enjoy some sunshine.
Good for you. Good plan. Jim Wiesmeyer, what you got going on? Staying home, still in recovery? How's that going?
Yes, therapy starts today, going really good, Chip. And Monday I'll be meeting with Texas A&M students in D.C., my first foray out. So I'm looking forward to that.
Excellent. Be safe while you're doing it. Hey, come back this afternoon. Conversation with Don Rose from U.S. Commodities.